Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's
to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
James, what happened to CBS there? They just kind of disappeared. Brian Kelly just coming in out of the bullpen, puts out the fire. It's 11:04. Tom Ackerman with you. Big trade just came across. Whoa. Big trade here. So Jose Martinez has been traded. And you remember Jose Martinez, the totally fun, great hitting against lefties, could have been a DH, but there was no DH until in the National League until now. And that's where he's headed, to the National League. Jose Martinez, according to Jeff Passan, has been traded to the Chicago Cubs. Wow. So you're going to have to deal with Jose Martinez again, but this time in an opposing uniform. Jose Martinez traded to the Cubs. Two players to be named headed back to the Tampa Bay Rays. So the Cubs get Jose Martinez. And according to Passan, this may give more at-bats to Randy Arozarena, who plays for the Rays. They acquired with Martinez in a trade this past offseason. So there you have it. Other trades, Mitch Moreland traded to the San Diego Padres, with Rosario and Potts headed to Boston in that deal. Boy, the Padres are loading up here. They picked up Trevor Rosenthal yesterday, the former Kansas City Royal, former Cardinal. And that was outfielder Edward Olivares and a player to be named heading to Kansas City in the Trevor Rosenthal deal. So the trade deadline is tomorrow, and John Mozeliak will join us at 11:30 to talk about, he's not going to tell us what the Cardinals are going to do. A, we don't know, and he wouldn't know until deals were to come together, but B, he's not going to show his hand either. But I think that one thing you can be sure of is that the Cardinals do have to figure out what their roster looks like, and to make room for some players, they may have to move players. We'll see. I don't know that that's the case. I would not expect, and maybe John will tell us this one way or the other, but I don't think the Cardinals are going to be super aggressive gaining some big name players to throw into their lineup. I think they feel like what they have right now is probably what they're going to roll with offensively. They just got to get it going. On the other side, though, I do think it can never hurt to have pitching depth. So if I were to guess which way the Cardinals would go, I would think they would go that route. They would probably go and find as much pitching as they can, as many innings as they can, especially what they've had to deal with COVID-19 and all of these doubleheaders that still face them and playing every single day. They're going to have to find some pitching to give some other guys a rest. So we'll see what happens in the trade deadline. But Jose Martinez to the Cubs, if you're just joining us. Well, that's big. Rays and Cubs make the trade. And so we get to see that fun, big, tall, right-handed hitting Venezuelan. But he is playing for the Cubs now. Oh, man. I'm going to have to rib him about that a little bit. What are the Blues going to do this offseason? That is a huge question. So the St. Louis Blues, the Stanley Cup champions, no longer. There will be a new Stanley Cup champion. As you know by now, the Blues were eliminated by the Canucks last week in six games. Here is Coach Craig Berube. Says it's unacceptable, no matter which way you look at it, to lose in the first round.
When you get beat out in the first round, it's unacceptable, myself included, and we got to get better, and I got to get better, and the team's got to get better.
It does bother him.
It eats away at you the whole time. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough for me. You know, we had a chance to repeat Stanley Cup champions. I think that was a big motivation for us as a team, and now it's over. We can't do it. So, I will move on and prepare for next year and get our team ready. But it eats away at me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Were they ready this time? Well, again, not making an excuse for them at all, but they did have some players who had positive COVID tests before they went to Edmonton. Maybe that hurt them a little bit, but overall, this team just did not look like itself. They have to step it up in the offseason, especially in the area of fitness. Here's Berube.
I want our team to come in unreal shape next year. I don't want guys coming in into camp and not in great shape and can't perform at a high enough level. It won't be accepted by us as a coaching staff and an organization. So we're going to be demanding on people, and that's the best way to get better.
They have to improve, and the culture in the team first.
We have a real good culture. We've got really good veterans on our team that hold people accountable and really push that culture that we're trying to create. And that's my job too, for sure. We got to get everybody on board going next year. They got to be on board of what we're preaching and what we're trying to do as a team. And I'll keep saying it, the team's the most important thing, and the team has to come first.
So who is that veteran player who leads them? Well, one of them for sure is their captain, Alex Pietrangelo. It's not clear whether he'll be back with the team next year.
It's obviously on everybody's mind, for sure, and more Petro and the organization, but I believe something will get done. That's the best answer I can give you.
Is he important to the team? You better believe it. You ask any of those players in that locker room, they'll tell you, here's Berube.
We talk about culture. Well, he's the one guy that leads the culture in the right way. Petro is in great shape. He's a very good leader in the locker room and on the ice. He leads by example on the ice with his play, but also, he understands the game very well, and he understands the locker room very well and what needs to be said in the locker room. So he does a very good job of that, and it makes my job a lot easier.
Here is the captain, Alex Pietrangelo.
Obviously, I want to stay in blue. Of course I do. I mean, that's we've touched on that. It's the only place I've known professional hockey. So, legacy is obviously important. This organization means a lot to me, right? It certainly, you see Al come around and see all the other alumni who are around regularly. That means a lot, right? It's guys who have a great relationship with the organization that have been around and really set their roots in St. Louis.
Can't possibly imagine him in another uniform.
Lots of guys do it. I hope it doesn't get to that point. I mean, they grew up here. This is the only place I know, professionally. It's family's here. I grew up here. Grew up here as a player and as a person, like I just said before. So, it's part of the business, unfortunately. And the situation is what it is. But hopefully that circumstance doesn't happen, and we'll see where this thing takes us.
Family, very important to Pietrangelo. They do love it here. And can you imagine him coming back from the bubble and his kids waiting for him?
One of my boys was really, really excited. And my daughter was kind of giving me the cold shoulder. So it's just, you miss so much, right? Like, I was only gone for a month, and just coming back, they changed so much in that 1 month. So right now they're pretty excited. I tell you what, me and my wife had run some errands this morning. They didn't want dad to leave. I think maybe he thought I wasn't coming back again. So it wasn't easy to be gone, I'll tell you that.
It's pretty sweet. I totally can relate and understand, although I've never been in a bubble, but away from spring training for 3-4 weeks sometimes without him can be tough. Why did the team struggle in Edmonton? Here's Pietrangelo.
Just felt like we weren't getting consistency from all of us throughout the lineup. In every single game when you play in a series, especially against a team like Vancouver, it's we have more experience. We felt like if we were able to do that, we would have had a chance to win. So a big thing for us was really just the consistency on both sides of the puck throughout the entire lineup.
How do you keep Alex Pietrangelo with this team? For my money, he's a top 10 defenseman in the league, maybe top 5. He's that good. He was a Norris Trophy, should have been a serious Norris Trophy candidate in 2020. How do you keep him? Here's General Manager Doug Armstrong.
It is really an either or, that if we can't find common ground with Alex, then there's really no need to do anything. And if we can find common ground with Alex, then there's a need to do a lot. Obviously I've talked to different managers to find out what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish. Do we have pieces that that allow them to accomplish what they want? But that being said, Alex is our captain. I've grown up with Alex in this organization, and he's grown up with me in this organization. I'd like to see it continue for a number of years moving forward, and that's my focus right now.
So there is Doug Armstrong, who also says this about the team.
Of our regular players, I think we had 20% of those guys that had COVID at some point. Their mindset was always to be competitive and to play hard, but they had a lot going on around them. The information of the COVID was changing every day on how it was going to affect older people, younger people, babies, and it took us a while to... I thought we got the most comfortable when we finally got to Edmonton. I didn't think we were comfortable leading into Edmonton, and I think that showed early on.
That it did, and it also hurt to not have Vladimir Tarasenko, whether he was out or whether he was on the ice. And when he was on the ice, he just wasn't the same, and as it turns out, Tarasenko needs shoulder surgery again.
He's going to go back in and have more surgery next week, and it's serious in the sense that he won't be with us and he won't be reevaluated for 5 months after the date of surgery.
Here's the latest.
He was very obviously limited. He had shoulder surgery, obviously, at the start of the season. He rehabbed. He came back. We had to do another MRI. He wasn't feeling good. That surgery didn't take the way that we had hoped. It wasn't successful. He's going to go back in and have more surgery next week. And it's serious in the sense that he won't be with us and he won't be reevaluated for 5 months after the date of surgery.
What about Tarasenko? Can he be the same player after this?
It's the third surgery. We're hoping that he gets back to the level that he was at before. I'm not concerned about the work ethic and the approach he's going to take to putting himself in a great spot, but time is going to tell on how quickly and the impact he can have when he gets back. I think he can have the same impact as before, but it's really irrelevant what I think or what I feel. It's going to be how he does when he gets back.
There is Doug Armstrong, Alex Pietrangelo, and Craig Berube, the St. Louis Blues, evaluating what has gone wrong here in 2019-2020 after a Stanley Cup championship, a 14-plus month celebration of owning that cup. Now they have to figure out how to get back there. Now, here's the thing, though. They will be celebrated forever. I mean, that team, the celebration will go on for the rest of their lives. And no matter how he performed, and he did not perform well in Edmonton, Jordan Binnington will be part of that celebration for the rest of his life. How to move on from this season?
You get away for a little bit here and then you reflect. And, you know, it was a good season. We were top of the conference, you know, so there are some positives to take away from this, right? And this group knows how to win, and we got some great talent, some great young players and competitors. So, you know, we'll be back and we'll just do what we have to do to prepare for next season. And that's it, really.
Jordan Binnington, he's a huge part of what they do. No doubt about it. They don't win the Stanley Cup without him. Unbelievable performance. They need to get him hot again. Let's see if they can. Season starts in, less than 4 months now. They'll be back in December. Tom Ackerman with you. Sports on a Sunday morning. Quick break. We'll come back. John Mozeliak's up ahead at 11:30 here on KMOX. Tom Ackerman, Sports on a Sunday morning at 11:18. Tell you what, let's go live. This is Paul DeJong, the Cardinals shortstop, is doing a Zoom call right now with the media. Let's listen in.
Everything we can and keep moving forward.
How do you feel about your return defensively?
I feel pretty good. Just getting my feet and my arm back under me. Locking in back on baseball again. It's been great to be out there and competing with my team, and you know, I'm just happy to be back and playing and being healthy.
Paul, as you kind of come back from what you came back from, where are you at from like a strength perspective, recovery perspective? Are you noticing any of the impacts maybe having had COVID and how that can affect you personally?
No, my body feels pretty good. I went through first few days. I was a little sore. That was to be expected. Just getting back into playing full nine-inning games. Overall, I'm adjusting with my routine. The staff's been great, keeping me, tuned up. And, I'm learning how to deal with all this as an individual and preparing myself. So,
what's that?
All right, let's bring that down. So that audio is not coming in very well right there. That's a live Zoom call with Paul DeJong. I was hoping that would start to clear up. You know, sometimes the connection will correct itself, but that was not the case. But anyway, Paul DeJong talking right now, getting ready for today's game. He's in the lineup today. DeJong, who did not tag up at second yesterday and ended up because of that, and part of the reason of that, the Cardinals were not able to score. in that inning. However, he is in the lineup today. Here's a peek at the lineup that the Cardinals are putting out there. The leadoff hitter will be Colton Wong. Tommy Edmond bats second. He's in left field today. Paul Goldschmidt is the first baseman batting third. Brad Miller, who's had a good year, he's hitting .327, walked three times yesterday. He's the DH. He bats fourth. Paul DeJong, the shortstop, who just spoke there, is batting fifth. Yadier Molina's back in there. Why wouldn't he be catching Adam Wainwright on his birthday? Yadi is batting sixth. Matt Carpenter is the third baseman, batting seventh. Dexter Fowler's in right field today, batting eighth. Dylan Carlson back in there again. He's playing center field and batting ninth, trying to get himself going. And Adam Wainwright is the starting pitcher. 39 years old today is Adam Wainwright, the Cardinals starter. We'll have a tribute to Adam during this hour. We also have John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, on the way at 11:30. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX continues right after this.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Brandon in at the dish. Wainwright pitches. Half swing and a strike is called, and the Cardinals are within one strike of a world championship for 2006. It would be their 10th world championship banner to fly. Two on, two out, an 0-2 pitch. Wainwright has the sign he wants. He brings it home. In. Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006. As Wainwright greets the catcher and a mob of the pitcher and catcher on the mound here at Busch Stadium. The Cardinals are the world champions for 2006. The 10th world championship in their illustrious franchise history, and it goes to number 10, the Cardinal manager, Tony La Russa.
Adam Wainwright, he was doing it in 2006, doing it in 2020.
He bunts this time, and Wainwright gets to it and throws him out. Small throw over there, gets him. That's 11 in a row retired by the Cardinal right-hander. He set him down in order in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth.
Isn't it something to think about? Adam Wainwright has been pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals since 2006. He doesn't get any more high leverage than pitching in a World Series and trying to close it out. And that's exactly what he did in 2006. Of course, you all remember what he did before that in connecting with Yadi and throwing that great curveball, one of the greatest of his career, I would say the greatest, to freeze Carlos Beltran and win the pennant at Shea Stadium in front of that raucous crowd. So the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina will be back together again for another game today. It's a remarkable run. It really is. I like listening to Wainwright when it comes to being philosophical and why baseball is special to him. This is Wainwright, and I think it says a lot about him. This is on July 24th as the Cardinals were getting their season started once again after all they had been through.
I'm very excited. You know, it does not feel like opening day to me just yet. I'm sure it will once the game gets going, but it feels like, what is the date, July 22nd or something? 24th. That's what it feels like to all of us. You know, we've been playing practice games for a while, and it feels, you know, like we're going to go out and play a game on July 24th a little bit. But also at the same time, do we have Clydesdales today?
Fortunately, no.
In spirit. We'll have Clydesdales in spirit. There's a lot of vibes going around also to go with that, you know, say that, wow, this is really happening. And I hope that everybody does a good job with their masks and staying safe and whatever we need to do so that we can play this full season out, because there's a lot of excitement to play this season for our great fans out there who are ready for some baseball and are ready for an escape. This is what another thing I keep getting on Twitter is, dude, just give me an escape from all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. I want to hear about this and I want to hear about that. That's what we're trying to do. Whatever we need to win, 60 games to get into the playoffs and win the division, hopefully, and then 14 more games. That's what we want to do at the end of the day. Hopefully, we can do all that starting today.
That's what makes him great. It's not just his elite pitching level and his incredible athletic ability, because he can still pitch and he can still field his position well, but it's the way that he connects with us. He's as relatable a player as I've ever seen in my life. He is really something. Adam Wainwright, happy birthday to number 50 pitching today for the Cardinals against the Cleveland Indians. John Mozeliak joins us next. He is the president of baseball operations. Back in a moment on KMOX.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We are back, and Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak joins us live on Sports on a Sunday morning. It's 11:33. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning to you. The news just came across from the Cubs that Jose Martinez is back in the division. So they acquire him from the Rays for a player to be named or cash consideration. And they also say as well as a player to be named or cash consideration. So that's two of those. Catcher Josh Fegley designated for assignment for the Cubs to make room for Jose Martinez. So the big fella is back, and our times with him, you look back fondly. I mean, you made that trade, of course, but you got to give up something to get something, right?
I haven't reflected on that trade in a while, but you know, when you think back to where he was going to fit in for us, it just seemed like it was going to be difficult. Now, at the time of that deal, we didn't know there would be a potential DH, and so maybe you might have thought about it differently at the time. But you know, clearly, hopefully, it works out for him. Nice guy, and happy for him if this all goes well. And I hope he doesn't hit too much against us.
That's right. Very good against those lefties, too, and just a good guy, Jose Martinez. Yeah, the Rays are good. I mean, they've won four straight. They're 12 games over 500. The Yankees have kind of fallen back in that division. They just finally won after losing eight straight. But, John, the Rays are dealing with some injuries. I mean, Ryan Yarbrough just went on the IL. He's the 11th player since the start of camp to be sidelined with an injury. So we'll see how they come back. In meantime, that's been part of the struggle for your team, not necessarily injury-wise, but just trying to get everyone back here. Since COVID-19 hit your club, you've had some good moments and you've had some not-so-good moments. I guess that's just part of what this team is trying to do, trying to get itself back in full gear.
Well, it's hard. You know, everybody responds differently to how they recover from COVID-19. And, you know, obviously Yadi was a pretty quick return, didn't have a lot of symptoms. And so therefore, I think his recovery was sped up. And, you know, I think he came into it with, you know, being in good physical condition. And then there are other players that are taking longer. And then, of course, depending on your role, if you're trying to come back as a starter, it's going to take more time. And I think that's been the biggest thing that we're trying to, like, understand is, you know, try not to rush people too quickly. I think in someone like Junior Fernandez's case, we probably should have given him a little more time down in Springfield to really have command of what he was doing. So obviously when we optioned him, that was something that we had to think about and let him get back to where he needs to be. Because, you know, when you lose a third of your roster to COVID, planning and the stress on your depth is something that's it's a little bit mind-boggling, really. I mean, it's been difficult. And has this year gone as we had hoped? No. I don't think any team really feels like it has. And I don't think anybody on a personal level feels like it has, whether you're in baseball or not. But, you know, we're trying to get through this. You know, when will we be full strength? It's hard to say. And, you know, can't believe we might never get there. And as you know, on Tuesday, we begin the month of September. And it's going to be a quite a sprint to the end. We have so many doubleheaders. We have so much baseball. You know, trying to stay fresh, trying to keep everybody together. It's, you know, the manager and his staff. It's a daunting task, and you know, I don't think it's going to be an easy month for us. But you know, hopefully we can get on a little run, and you know, hopefully it starts today.
The trade deadline's tomorrow, and not asking you to show your hand or reveal anything, but I would guess that if anything, it's always nice to have pitching depth, and if you could get it, you wouldn't mind having it, especially what you just laid out there.
Yeah, it's tricky though. It's not even that simple. Yeah. We're currently at 46 players on our 40 man. As players start to come off the COVID, that means players have to come off the 40, and so, you know, even acquiring somebody that would require a 40 man spot is going to be tricky. And so just trying to navigate that is no easy task. Unfortunately, I think the timing of this trading deadline for us is just not ideal. And you know, that's non-negotiable. So it is what it is. And, again, hopefully just getting back healthy is going to be proved to be good enough, but we'll see.
Yeah, I try to follow this roster as much as possible, and it's all of your jobs to do it. But it this year with everything, and as you just mentioned, 46 on there, that's because some of them don't count against it when they're on the COVID IL, and players coming and going. Some players on the as a 29th man for doubleheaders, as I would assume Ponce is going to be. There are changes that are taking place, no doubt about it. The one thing that we've seen here over the last few days, and you're not one to panic. I've never seen you that way. Mike Schilt certainly wasn't last hour, and that is the offense. It's just, you know, the numbers are what they are. Runners in scoring position, we're not seeing the team cashing in like they'd like to.
Well, I do think, you know, there's always going to be ebb and flows in a season. And, you know, a week ago we were getting the timely hit when we needed it. And now we're not. And so, you know, sometimes when it rains, it pours, and it just feels like, things just aren't working as you would hope. But, you know, clearly we had some opportunities this week and weren't able to take advantage of them. And that's disappointing because, you know, then you have a 4-game losing streak. So, you know, I do think you're seeing sort of like a lot of different streaks throughout the game. And, you know, we're just currently in that. But again, for us, I mean, it's tough because, you know, we went from going 0 to 100 miles an hour overnight. And I just feel like it's a lot to ask for 28 players. And it's, you know, it's something that in a perfect world, you'd have it more spaced out. You'd have some rest, but it's not. And so I'm not complaining, not giving excuses, but it's challenging.
Yeah, I get that. I do. And you know, what's even more remarkable about that is what Jack does. You know, Jack Flaherty gets out there and holds teams to one run, no runs. His ERA is 1.93. Did it again yesterday. Actually, your pitching overall yesterday was good in the 2-1 loss in 12 innings. Yachty ends up getting tagged out to end the game, but he had to really navigate that group through. After Jack went 5, he had a good bullpen too. But just to concentrate back on Jack, he's just a wise man for his age, and we know about his athletic ability, but all the things that I know he's going through in the outside world and able to compartmentalize that and manage that and do what he does is remarkable to me. And I'm sure that you hold him to a very high regard in that way as well.
Well, I think everybody right now is dealing with unique pressures and stress. You know, this is not a normal year by any account. You look at how people are adjusting to a pandemic. You're looking at how people are dealing with their own feelings with social injustices and how that's being handled. You know, these are all things that you know, you don't really prepare for. And watching these young men go through it in their own ways is something we just want to be here to help them. And, you know, certainly, that's our hope and give them the tools and resources that they can get through that. And Jack in his own right is, you know, been in a lot of ways, the face of these topics for us, but, you know, certainly, that's something that we want to make sure that he also feels comfortable where he's at and what he's dealing with.
John, we've seen some stories, and I know KMOX.com had this story as well about the reports that the Cardinals would be interested and would be open, I should say, to having Busch Stadium used as a polling place in November. Can you comment along those lines and how that has come about and what that might how that might work out for you?
Yeah, I can say that, like, Billy DeWitt and I were talking a little bit about it, and I know he did mention it to our mayor and did offer up the ballpark, and this is something that Jack's passionate about too. And, you know, ultimately I'm not sure of the logistics and if it's something that will happen for sure. But, you know, given what's at stake, and I think a lot of people, you know, not trying to engage myself in the politics side of the world, but it was something that a lot of people here thought would be a nice gesture if it was something that the city thought was valuable.
Got it. And just finally moving ahead here, the Cleveland Indians, and then making your way through and navigating a schedule where you go back on the road again. Do you feel like, and this is something we haven't talked about in a while, but do you feel like you have a handle on everything so far moving forward on COVID, on protocol, on keeping everybody safe? Where you've had baseball to be thinking about at the same time. There's a lot going on.
I think we do. You know, like we had a brief email exchange last night just on what reminders we need to give everybody, because it's not something you can take a day off from. It's something that you just have to stay on top of. You know, of course, you're trying to manage that as best you can. I do think on the road, it's almost simpler in a way, because it's literally, you know, hotel, ballpark, ballpark, hotel. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, you know, you shouldn't have any distractions. But those reminders will go out today. They'll be communicated to everybody on the traveling party. And fingers crossed it works.
Good luck to you, and good luck today against the Indians. And thank you for this time. We always appreciate it.
All right, Tommy. Thank you.
Thank you. President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll take a quick break, 11:44 on Sports on a Sunday morning. Back after this.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's 11:51. We talked about Jack Flaherty a lot during this show with Mike Schilt and also with John Mozeliak. Here is Flaherty. He wants change, and that's a common theme among many professional and former athletes standing up for what is right, and they want justice. Here is Jack Flaherty.
I'm, like, sick of talking, and I just want to find things that I can do and things that we can do as a community and things that we can do as people to make things happen. And, you know, we've had the conversation. The conversation has gone on. The conversation's continued, and I'm sick of talking about it. And I don't want to make things happen. You know, I got some of my friends going to Washington right now to march on Washington, and she was like, you know, just get on a plane, but you know, come out and do the march with me. And I said, if I could, I would, but I can't be there with you. So you do it for me. You go and you have that march for me. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done, and I think that it's fine. It's really time to make things happen. And you know, conversations have been great, but stuff continues to go on, and I'm like just sick of getting up here and talking about it.
Here's Jason Tatum, the St. Louisan, one of the biggest stars in the NBA right now with the Boston Celtics.
How many points we score, if you answer win it, that shit don't matter right now. You know, being a black man in America is, you know, more important than what I'm doing up there in basketball. So using my platform, my voice, to help create conversation and change is more important than anything I can do out there. You know, you think about a man being shot in his back 7 times with his kids in the car, is way more important than anything I could do out there.
That's a good referring to Jacob Blake, who was shot 7 times allegedly by police, reportedly 7 times by Kenosha police. And Tatum, I don't know how well you could hear that audio, but he talked about using his platform. That's what Chris Webber is asking these young players and the younger generation to do. Here he is, the former NBA player on TNT.
We know vote. We keep hearing vote. Everybody vote. But I'm here to speak for those that are always marginalized. Those that live in these neighborhoods where we preach and tell them to vote and walk away. Charles Barkley came to my high school. Just seeing him in the locker room, seeing his hands and his body, that inspired me. You can't see something. You can't be something till you see it. And when I tell you the little kids that have called me upset, I have a godson that has autism, and I just had to explain to him why we aren't playing. I have young nephews that I've had to talk to about death before they've even seen it in a movie. If not now, when? If not during a pandemic and countless lives being lost, if not now, when? That's all I just want to hear from the rest of the night, while everybody's pontificating and thinking and soapboxing and all of that. We know nothing is going to change. We get it. If Martin Luther King got shot and risked his life, Mega Evers, if we've seen this and all of our heroes constantly taken down, we understand it's not going to end. But that does not mean, young men, that you don't do anything. Don't listen to these people telling you don't do anything, because it's not going to end right away. You are starting something for the next generation and the next generation to take over. Do you have to be smart? Yes. Do you have to make sure that you have a plan? Yes. Do you have to be articulate about that plan? Yes. All of those things. But that's what you're going to do. They're professionals. They know how to be the best of themselves. And so I applaud it. I applaud it because it is the young people. It is the young people leading the way. And I applaud them.
That's Chris Webber on the NBA on TNT. The Milwaukee Bucks were the first team to step away. They decided not to show up on the court and boycott their game against the Orlando Magic in the playoffs. The Bucks, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Magic made it known that they would not accept the forfeit. So essentially, they boycotted also. Then the Rockets-Oklahoma City Thunder game was also boycotted. The NBA stepped in that day and postponed all three playoff games. And that's how this started this week. The Milwaukee Brewers got together. And then this had now reached Major League Baseball. They decided that they were not going to play their game. Here's their manager, Craig Counsell.
You know, it's not a decision that's taken lightly. It doesn't, not at all. You know, players love what they do. They love doing what they do. And, you know, I think the statement they made was that let's just hopefully have everybody take a second to understand something else that's going on that's more important than what we love to do, you know. And so it's selfless in that way. It's not small. I mean, just not playing a game and saying we're not playing tonight is not small. Life is going to go on tomorrow, and we are going to play. We're likely to play baseball tomorrow.
That is Craig Counsell, the Brewers manager. Some things to think about as we head into noon here, and a 12:20 pregame, a 1:15 first pitch. Cardinals and Indians. Thanks for joining us on Sports on a Sunday morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.